Phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina. Ngiyinsizwa.
Getting close to December, so you need to stack your coins up. Head on over to easybet.co.za where it's simple, fun, and exciting, even if it's your first time gambling. If you sign up now, you score a 50 Rand sign-up bonus, no deposit needed. Just use the promo code SHADY, PH. I am Shady, he's PH. It's a promo code. You get 50 bucks. Ilula lento. If you're looking for more, your first deposit gets you a 150% bonus, up to 1,500 Rand. Obviously, it's more coins to operate with, so you can win bigger. But wait, there's more. EasyBet will match your first bet up to 500 Rand. Kushukuthi imali oyifakayo bayayimatcha. So you're getting extra play without extra spend. And even if you're losing because, I don't know, it's not your day or it's not the situation, you can get 15% of your losing bets back every week because they're all about backing real players. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to easybet.co.za and sign up now and check it out for yourself. T's and C's apply. EasyBet Group Pty Limited is licensed and regulated by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. No persons under the age of 18 may gamble. Winners know when to stop. Okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is this how we open up the show and podcast? I'm a radio guy, but here we are, man. It's DJ Cyber, the best in ever. It's a slimmer version, holding it down for PH.
They replacement had PH in the house. Super sub.
Yeah, holding it down for PH. It's DJ Cyber, the best thing ever. The lurkers here. No one is subbing. The one and only Shady Lurker.
You good, bro? No, I'm here, Mgano. Don't
staring.
Worry. Yeah, I'm here just to guide you.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, when I first met Sebi, that's what I was doing. He was in Y Academy, I was a DJ. And I'm guiding, Look how far he's come. So now, yeah, in the podcast space, Ntona, I'm pete him, Fananito, yes.
So crazy, like I've known this guy for like so many years, eh? Probably like a decade plus.
And we're from the same town. Like the same, like...
Vryheid.
Yo, not you even. I mean? We're from the same farm.
But he's going to take it to Ngutu. He loves Ngutu.
Yeah, we're from the same Makaya.
Yeah.
I've never been
Rural
Vryheid.
Area.
No, Mganuam, thanks for coming through. Thanks for holding it down for PH. And of course, we're joined by our lovely guest this week. Honored to have Lebo Lion in the building.
Woo-hoo!
Yay! Let me start by saying... By profession, Lebo Lion is a foot model. She has beautiful feet.
Oh my God!
So
really?
We brought her today to discuss.
I'm afraid of that statement.
We brought her to today.
Guys, Morris is not
to
telling the truth.
The beginning of her only feet career.
Well, actually, you know, I was on a set. I can't say which TV show.
Yeah.
Yes.
But one of the actresses was telling me about how she has an OnlyFans for feet. And
yeah,
it's a
you
real
see?
Thing.
Yeah, it's
and
real
she
thing.
Made she's made about $7,000 so far.
Well,
whoa. Showing her feet.
So is that how your journey began?
Listen, I do. Please don't listen to Morris. I do not have nice feet. I don't want a Nomzamo situation. People take a picture of my feet.
Really
and
took
then
a
it's
picture.
Trending on
I put it on the OnlyFeeds group.
I don't rate my feet. So yeah, no, there's actually an OnlyFans for feet.
Oh yeah.
And people are making a lot of money from it.
Yeah.
So I've heard.
Yeah.
Like, we actually had somebody who worked here who was like, yo, I'm starting one.
Mm.
And I was like, you know what? Fucking do it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Because I used to work with a lady, dude, the most unsuspecting lady, right?
Okay.
I can't obviously say who she is because then we'll know whose toes it is. And during like lockdown, basically somebody replied to a post she'd put up. They were like, yo, I think your feet are beautiful. I'll send you whatever. It was like $1,000 if you send me like a 15 or 20 second video of your feet.
Yeah.
So she did because she was like, whatever, $1,000 is $1,000, bro.
For feet,
right? Yeah. Sends the thing, money in. That was the beginning of a lovely career on one of these, I don't know which one, I don't know if it's Only Feet or Fans or Feet, whatever. Only, what's the other one called, man?
Something.
Feet Finder.
Feet, that's the one, Feet Finder. That's it.
She was making like 40K, dude, 40K, 60K a month. She continued doing that thing throughout lockdown, and Vela in lockdown were puzzling.
Mm-hmm.
She's in entertainment. Mm-hmm. So it's like this was supplementary income when there was no gigs.
I think we're talking about the same person.
Yeah. Oh, you see now.
I think so.
Wink, wink.
I think so, but I love her. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Sebi, would you allow your wife to be an only feet model?
No.
Why? It's just feet. They don't see the face. It's just feet.
It's only feet, bro.
An extra 40K a month.
Ningipara samehle lapha. Inyoza phezwa sebi.
You see, that's the downside, unfortunately.
But they don't know your identity, so they wouldn't know it.
And you
wife.
Don't know theirs. Because exactly. Remember, they're just viewing them, Ganam. It's not like alive or something.
I worry. No, okay.
Huh? You say
the Zulu in you says no.
Zulu niggas, bro.
Zulu men are a problem. But I love them still.
Listen, me, I was in support of it. Eh? I said, look, if my hand gets offers to say this, I'll be like, babe, we're doing it.
What would you show on OnlyFans?
Me?
Feet fine, name.
Of myself?
Yeah.
No, my hands are horrible.
Yeah?
My feet are cute, but I don't think that, like, they're not trying to see my feet. It's like a feminine foot, I think, is where the interest is.
Yeah.
Because, bro, like, I don't know, like, the one we're discussing is already weird. If it now goes to the level where people are looking at men's feet, come on. And how can I be taken? I'm being in the streets, Savvy. Imagine if people find out, label that, yo, what is this one only be?
That's weird.
So she's not really a foot model. Please,
no, label lies.
I like to, when guests are here, it's not PH's thing. PH likes to rattle off your CV. Mm. Mina, I prefer for the guests to please introduce themselves.
Yes.
Because I don't think I would do justice to what you can do better.
Okay.
Who is label lying?
Hi, everyone. My name is Lebo Lion, known as the voice of marketing and your friend in all things marketing, brand building, and sometimes pop culture. That's my TikTok intro. Mm. It's very new. I started it about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Before that, I just say, hi, I'm Lebo Lion. I'm a marketing strategist, author, entrepreneur, the whole spiel.
Yeah.
Because most of us are in this industry.
Hey, you have to be.
Yeah, you have to be. You have to be a multi-hyphenate because
that's why we have to make money. Pages because
that's why we have feet pages. Hustles, bro. I mean, you've literally just made my life better. Yeah. I'm gonna buy a Range Rover from that feet money. I think.
Juarez, I'm gonna photograph the feet. I'm on the team. I want 40% of the takings.
Wow, 40%.
40%.
I'm willing to give you 5. I'm willing to give you 5%.
How much?
That's fair.
5.
5.
I don't think you've seen the type of content I can take. Sammy, tell me why.
It's a shady look.
Negotiate, bro. You'll get a 10%.
10%. So what, from the 40, I take 20.
Imagine, you take 10. You guys are extorting me on camera.
No. You didn't even think of it. Like, it was my idea.
It's money that was there, but you don't want to
care. Hey, you're a marketing strategist.
Wow. Well, anyway, as I'm also a hustler. I think it's really uncommon for women to call themselves that.
Mm.
But I think a lot of South African women really know how to hustle. Like, we work hard. We're streetwise, we're book smart, and that's what I encourage my female audience to be about. Like, be about you. Have the audacity to chase your dreams. Do whatever you feel you need to do and just go hard at it. No matter if you fail or win, it doesn't matter. Just try something.
Yeah.
You know, that's my whole
thing. So when you studied, you obviously studied marketing at some point.
Yeah, I started out as CA stream.
CA stream,
because my family, I'm vendor. So
Vendor people. You Vendor.
Vendor.
Ah, what do you mean?
Okay, she's Vendor. This interview's over.
Why?
Vendor.
Ah, no, Vendor. Yes.
So
I'm Limpopo's in-law.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I call myself.
Yeah. So we are very academic. You know Vendor people.
Yeah.
It's like engineering, accounting, medicine, da da da. So most of the people in my family are accountants or lawyers. And my dad applied for me in varsity. He was like, you're not going to choose. I'm going to choose for you. And he applied CA stream.
And he was like, you're doing this accounting
You're
thing.
Doing accounting. I was like, I really don't want to do this. He said, you're doing it. I did it for 2 years. I really hated it. I'm not an accountant.
Yeah.
I'm a words person.
You mean just the study part or you completed your studies in accounting?
No, I didn't complete accounting. Okay. No. After 2 years, I said to them, guys, I'm not doing this thing. I want to do marketing. They were like, what is marketing? It's such a silly thing to do. I said, I don't mind.
Marketing wasn't on the list of vendor careers.
No, it's not. It's not. We're like Indian people. We're very strict on what you can study, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I want to do marketing. They said, if you want to do marketing, you have to pay for it yourself.
Okay.
Literally. And I was just like, what do you mean? My whole life you've been paying for everything and now I have to pay for it myself. And that's when I really activated the hustler in me.
Yeah.
Okay. And I literally did everything. I would work at the club at the door. I would. I had many jobs just so I could pay for.
Which club?
Many. Some of them don't exist now. Okay. I'm in my 30s, so now, but a few of those clubs I knew, the bouncers, like I was within. That's how I also got to understand the entertainment industry and the marketing industry, because I'd meet people, I'd see the artists, international artists coming through, and I'd help, I'd volunteer to do anything. Well, not anything, but the work, the professional work.
Mm.
And that's how I paid for my varsity. And I was also a tutor. And that's how I got into knowing how to educate people about things. Mm. Because I was a really good tutor, actually. My class had 100% pass rate.
Which is a skill. You know, in order to articulate yourself in a way where you're sharing information so people absorb it.
So they understand it, right? Yeah. It's important. I was a tutor for what? Economics, business, management and marketing. Yeah.
Did you have the skill at the point at which you told your parents that, yo, this
is what I'm going to do.
I'm not doing the CA thing.
Did I have the skill?
No, the skill of marketing yourself in terms of how do you have that discussion with the family that it ends in, fine, pay for it yourself.
I just told them. I was like, guys, this thing is killing me. I don't want to do it anymore. Mm. And they weren't hearing it. And I just said to them, well, whether you like it or not, I'm not going to do it. So what's the plan? And my dad said, well, if you think you can do everything yourself, then do everything yourself. Yeah. It wasn't a very nice conversation.
And I want to take it back then. I want to take it back at Jaltin, right? So is your surname then Doe?
No.
Which way probably is lion, because that's what
Doe is an elephant.
Sorry. Yeah. So what's your last name then?
I don't tell people what my last name is.
That's what, because I've never heard your last name. It's always been Lebo Lion.
Exactly.
And it's Lebo Lion, not Lebo the Lion.
Thank you. Bro, like finally, somebody gets it.
Lebo the Lion. I'm like,
you know, Lebo the Lion is the mascot for Clover or something. The non of literally Lebo the Lion.
Yeah. So who's
and it's Lebo M Lion King. It's like there's a lot of Lebos and lions. Yeah.
My dad is Venda.
Okay.
But my family is Limpopo originating. Yeah. Okay. So my mom is half Bedi, half Shangaan. Then my dad is full Venda. So we're basically Limpopo, Rainbow Nation.
So how do you guys find yourself in Foslo?
How do you know I'm from Foslo?
We know. We've been briefed. We've been briefed, girl.
Hey, Batung.
I have to find some. Like, you don't want to give us your last name?
I didn't want that information getting out.
Well, say actually, K-1.
The funny thing about Foslo is I think a lot of legends come from there.
No,
and
100%.
I'm calling myself a legend too, even though I'm still becoming one.
A lot of people who do iconic stuff
come from the East Rand. No doubt, my grandmother used to be friends with David Lale's mother, I think.
Mm.
Wow.
And Zama Jobe's grandmother. Like, it was a very, you know,
especially in the creative space.
Exactly, exactly. So
I don't know any CAs that come from.
Yeah. Shade.
No, the I'm shade. Just saying. It's like,
and usually when you go to Foslo, you have the best fun. Like, shout out to clubs like Endawin.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
True.
Like, Foslo is just always a vibe. The first time I got arrested, I was in Foslo.
Well,
I mean, I was like, yo, they were doing their job.
Yeah. So, my dad. Oh,
not first time. The only time.
The only time.
Yeah.
Correct. Need to clarify that. But my dad he's an entrepreneur, by the way. So my dad used to be a DJ long, long time ago.
Oh,
then he became an entrepreneur. And I come from a very musical family. My grandmother used to work at Gallo Records.
Yeah.
So Hugh Masikan and them would come to her house on Sundays and they would jam and chill and eat. Da, 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 da. Long story. But my dad walked apparently and hitchhiked from Venda to the side.
Mm, so the story goes.
That's the story. And he used to park the trolleys at Rosebank Mall.
Yeah.
At that time, it was a thing and you'd get paid quite a bit. And that's how he got himself through varsity with small jobs like that. He went to Wits.
And he studied.
What did my dad study? He's a lawyer now, but that's his second career. Before he did, I can't, something to do with business. I don't know. I can't remember.
So he's a lawyer and with his own law firm.
Now. But before he was a businessman.
Yes.
In the medical space.
If you don't mind my asking.
60-something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still youngish.
He's still young. Yeah. He's still
young. So he walked from Venda to Joburg?
Yeah.
He hitchhiked. That's why everybody comes here from Venda.
He hitchhiked.
Oh. Yes. Is it Mr. Johannes?
Mm-mm.
Are you googling?
I'm trying to get the last name.
Hey, dog, giving a lot of secrets.
You'll never guess my last name.
Yeah.
You'll never guess it. It's just something that people can't guess. It's not a guessable thing.
But it's dope now because now
we're curious.
Yeah, we're curious, and I think I like that.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know because I want to know.
I'm not gonna
tell
you. Yeah.
You so now if you had to get married to a Waras, it would be like, are you gonna change the lion to be like
Ngabi?
No, well, it'll be Lebo Ngabi.
No, lion is my business name. It's not my. It's not my name on my ID.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. So I would still change my name to my husband's. Mm. Oh, would I? Actually, as a feminist, would I?
Or he will have to change.
No,
well,
I can keep his name. I can keep my name.
Made it
legal.
But why would I want my husband to have my surname?
That's the thing.
I don't know, it's weird.
Me, I think that whole judgment was weird. I must be honest.
I think it's a step in the right direction.
No, I just mean in terms of, this is my stance always. Mm. Whenever any judgment or anything legislative comes out of any of our various institutions, I look at it in order of priority, right? Mm. So I feel like as a country, where we are right now, women allow husbands being able to take on women's surnames, their wife's surnames, whatever, in terms of the list of priorities, I think it's at about number 78.
Absolutely.
I feel like there's 77 other things that need urgent attention. Mm. They're at the constitutional courts as well, because people were like, oh, you need to understand that different departments handle different things. And I'm like, no, no, every department in order of priority, bro, yeah, this is not one of them. Mm. And then the media coverage that it gets.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's always the other thing, is that, cool, they make decisions every day. I imagine constitutional court judges are busy all the time.
Yeah.
But why is it that this decision was on every single news outlet and had to be discussed at length? Am I making sense?
It's like to shift our attention. Yeah.
It's not to say I'm against it. Not at all. I don't care.
It's just not a priority.
It's just I don't think it's a priority. Mm. And yeah, I don't think it needed the media attention that it got. Because the conspiracy theorists online like me, we were like, who's going to take this thing? It's like you say, why would I want my husband to have my son? Mm. Right? Mm. And if your husband is like, Lebo, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to call myself Warwick Lion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right? You be cool with that. You're not going to be like, well, fine then. Marriage is off. I don't see any woman doing that. Certainly, I don't know any that would do that. Right? But what I do see happening, which we know is prevalent,
yeah,
is a lot of illegal immigrants, foreigners, are marrying local women for money. They don't live together. They're not in a relationship. But to my friend, Lapana, ushate no lebu. And then it's like, how? My friend Lion. Kanjani, how are you, my friend Lion? Because now it's going to be Mustafa and them are going to have our surnames. It's a tough one. Mm. And then I just changed my first name to like an English name. You know what I mean? Like whatever, Alan.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden I'm Alan Kubeka. Alan Kubeka. When I look at that on an ID book, I think it's Alan Kubeka was a mundane.
Mm.
Yeah.
In the meantime, it's Alan Kubeka was a Somalia. I feel like it opens up the system to be abused.
It does, yeah, as with all laws and, you know, changes, yes, that does happen. But I think you've hit the nail on the head there with the whole, maybe they're trying to distract us, you know, because there could be other things that they're doing and they're not doing
There's so
that.
Much happening in this.
Yes. There's so much happening. And I think our government really is on this drive to show that they're busy. And the more talkable that thing is, the more efficient they seem.
100%.
Regardless of how important that thing really is.
You see, now you're coming with your marketing brain.
I am.
You see. Because so it's a form of marketing.
It is. I mean, even in content creation, you guys know, the thing that seems the most petty or the most like ridiculous is the thing that will trend the most.
True.
People will talk about it the most. I just did a video on TikTok about a lady who got funeral flowers from her boyfriend.
Okay.
I think that video is sitting on 350K views now. Yes.
Funeral flowers as in...
So her boyfriend bought her flowers. Right. She didn't like the flowers, so she said they're funeral flowers. Okay. She wanted roses for Instagram.
And he bought her lilies.
And like a rustic bouquet.
Okay.
He bought a rustic bouquet.
Probably picked it up there by...
Thereby outside West the cemetery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she told them, she said, I want roses because I want to post on Instagram.
Yeah.
Wow. And these are not Instagram worthy.
Yeah.
So there's a whole funeral flowers thing happening now on TikTok, and that video's got so many views.
Listen, and can I tell you, that's funny because a lot of guys don't understand. In my opinion, if you are, this is how well roses, like, not how well, rather, this is how what do you call it? Not iconic. What's the word I'm looking for, man?
My man, you're the one that's remembering.
No, I'm thinking that posted it the other day, man. Somebody posted a bouquet of roses, but she was holding it. And she was like, lucky I'm going to, like, the reason I'm going to gym is so I can hold up these bouquets. But bro, this thing was massive. It was like the size of the table, right? And I thought to myself, the likes this person is going to get from other women, because that's what it is, right? You, as my man, you expect me to post the funeral flowers on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's not really about the flowers, the gesture in the vase there by the house. It's about how do I get this thing onto the gram.
Thank you.
And earlier this year, like,
for a birthday, I had to buy roses. Okay? But like, yo, dude, like 400 or something.
You?
Let me tell you guys. The people who run the flower shops know that people want to post on IG.
Yes.
So this bra, when I went there, he was like, oh, is it for a photo? Mm. My nigga, come to these this department.
Yes.
Oh. Right. In terms of how the bouquet can be made and stuff and the arrangement, it's all about how it can be posted.
Yeah.
So whoever that bra is, shame.
He's ridiculous.
He's it's disappointing.
But people were mad at her, actually. That was the whole thing. They
for
were like,
what?
She's ungrateful.
Mm.
And that was just weird to me. I'm like, why would I want something I don't want? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So people were upset with her. Yeah. And that's where the whole debate comes in.
Yes. Yeah. Tell me about your journey, Lebo. Like, you study. Why don't you go and work in corporate and just earn a fantastic salary and relax? Why do you say, okay, cool, me, I'm going to do my own thing? And how do you go about deciding what that thing is?
I think I'm a little bit crazy. And I think you need that to be a person who does things outside of the status quo.
Yeah.
I've always been a little bit crazy. And I've always done things a little bit differently to how other people do it. But I will say, I am a Virgo. I'm an A-type personality. Mm. And I grew up in environments where, you know, you have to achieve the goals.
Mm.
My parents are strict. You have to get these marks. You have to do X, Y, Z. Mm. So, and the schools I went to were exactly the same. So I was that girl who would get the marks. I would become head girl, prefect, da-da-da-da-da. Mm. I was that person. Mm. And then I got tired of it. After high school, I was just like, I feel like an adult.
Mm.
I feel like I'm always doing everything perfectly and I'm bored and I'm tired.
Mm.
This is actually what I want to do. I want to experiment. I want to play. I want to try different things. And because my family is in entrepreneurship, during the school holidays, we'd work at the different businesses.
Mm. The family business.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So like and some like work experience. Right?
Basically.
Yeah. Did you get paid?
No.
Man.
Paying off your school fees.
Paying my dues. But I learned that what I was good at was this thing called marketing.
Yeah.
And because I also had to read a lot, our parents were like, you have to read books. Da, 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 da. I remember reading a magazine and I saw Tebeka Lafeng on the magazine. Mm. And that was the first time I saw a publication articulate this thing called marketing. Because before I thought it was like sales, what I was doing. I wasn't too sure exactly what it was. Then when I saw that article from Tebe, I was like, oh, so it's actually marketing. Like this thing that I think I'm good at is called marketing. And I would literally just go to different people I know and ask them if I could work in their establishments and do this thing called marketing and see how good I am. And it would always work out. So I knew I could do this before I even got to varsity. But obviously, you're still a kid. If your parents say you have to go study something,
you go under pressure,
and they're paying. So,
what were some of the early campaigns you did for those family businesses?
Oh my God, campaigns!
Yeah, but it's a campaign. It's a campaign.
Did you even know it was a campaign when you were doing it?
It was a campaign. Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to think of it now, and I can't expose the kind of business that we were in. So I'm just trying to find a way to say.
You see now, Sammy. Nah, you can't tell.
I think she's away with it. The more we get closer and closer to the surname.
You know? And you know how it is in Limpopo, bro.
Let me just keep dollars and couches and stuff, bro. Let me just say that we were selling a lot of FMCG products. Mm-hmm. Let me put it that way. Okay. So,
selling products.
It's not heaven like.
But you're appealing to a mass market, probably lower LSM mainly because of the price point of those products. So it's not necessarily about campaigning as it was about creating a very homely environment in the establishment.
Mm.
South African customers love going to a place where people remember their name. You know, we remember your order. And like, you know, we'll have a conversation with you before you buy the thing.
Yes. And they love like knowing the owner or the boss.
Exactly.
People
like exactly.
Dealing with like
the
calls end.
Yes.
They want to speak to you.
They
want
to speak to you. The human touch is very important.
100%.
So I think back in that day in the 2000s and whatever, it was all about human touch. It was all about relationship building.
Mm.
I learned a lot about that. You look at people in the eye when you speak to them. You know, you ask them about their family.
Mm.
You know, you talk to them about the product and, hey, how are you using it? Maybe you could use it like this. It's just things like that. I think we campaigning is a now thing.
Mm.
I think before it was really about knowing your customers very well, knowing their personal lives, because it wasn't such a taboo to know your customer's personal life, and people were very open. So I think I learned a lot about relationship building and what it takes to create authenticity in anything that you want to sell to people. That's what I learned in those establishments.
And when does the turning moment come for you? When would you say the switch goes on for the brand Lebo to then move
Lebo
up?
Lion.
Lebo Lion.
Lebo Lion.
Oh, God.
After being crazy.
Yeah.
I'm still crazy. You always have to have a little bit of madness to survive this industry.
Yeah.
But so what happened was, after Varsity, my cousin and a friend of ours, they are CAs.
Yeah.
And they also were doing this tech company on the side. Mm. They had tablets. And they'd had them for 2 years and they couldn't sell the tablets. Mm-hmm. So I said to them, guys, I don't want to work in corporate. Let me come into this business and let me help you actually build it properly, because you guys aren't making money from this thing.
Mm.
So I took the tablets and I made it a brand. Essentially, it was called Mzansi Pad, long time ago. I'm sure the Facebook page is still around. But I took that tablet from just a tablet, because they were thinking money. They were like, we've got a tablet, the government is rolling out paperless learning classrooms,
let's sell this thing, right?
And I was like, well, it seems like a basic, exactly. But it's like, you guys are young black men in an industry dominated by Asian companies and European companies.
That's it.
Who the hell are you?
Gonna beat your price point.
Exactly.
And your volumes, you can't even.
And reputation, right? You can't compete with Samsung as just a young black CA. Like, who are you? So basically, I said to them, I'm going to turn this into a brand. They said, that sounds ridiculous. But I did. And I gave it meaning, because a tablet is just a tablet, right? But if you give it meaning, then there's a reason why people should listen to you and buy from you. So what I did is I did some research. And I realized that in these schools, there wasn't a lot of tech understanding. The teachers didn't understand tablets and technology. It was still very new.
Yeah.
And the government had only just started rolling out paperless learning classrooms. So people were like, they weren't really receptive to this idea of, we're going to teach children with tablets. And also, there was a heavy backlog when it came to just being able to access the internet. So teachers would just get frustrated and not use the tablets, but create reports saying they've used the tablets. And that's what I found in my research. So what we did is we realized that these tablets actually don't have value to these students and the teachers. And we have to create the value.
And sometimes I think we think an idea is good with like a first world mindset.
Exactly.
And trying to take it to the third world.
So what I recommended to my business partners was that we should create software that would teach the kids mathematics, English, and science to give us an edge. Because who are we in the biggest scheme of things? We don't have the money. And I made relationships with different schools and townships. They really liked me, and they allowed me to basically test our software in their schools for 2 years. And we're able to sell that research, sell our findings, and also sell some of the tablets to different institutions based off of that.
So when you said, like, just to draw it back, you said, who are we? Are you guys a company at the time? Is this
Bespoke exists? But it's like in the context of the market, right? You've got Samsung. We literally had all the big players,
Samsung,
our competitors,
Huawei.
All of these people. Who are we?
And I mean, like, were you guys a company at the time?
Yes, we were a company. Yeah. So because I had CAs as my business partners, they know how to get money into things, right?
Yeah.
So
in terms of funding, in terms of that kind of thing.
So they were able to get some money in really quickly. We had an office space in Rivonia. We had 12 coders working for us. Like, it was a whole operation. Yeah. And we were all young in our 20s. We don't know what we're doing, but we think we do. And it's working, right? We literally got like CEOs of different banks, etc., just being interested because we had created this brand instead of just a tablet. And because we have that story of young black people doing something, you know, cool and interesting. Okay, there you go. Basically, I positioned us to be interesting to the market and for the market to notice us. So we became people to know.
Okay.
Before we were, who are you? Like, you just... young black people, like, you know. And then once we built the brand and positioned ourselves, we were taken a bit seriously in different rooms, and we were able to make some money doing that.
This is obviously in an age before social media.
This is when Facebook was the thing.
Right.
Yeah. Because we also made a lot of money and got a lot of clients through using Facebook really well. I mean, this was a time, we were really hustlers. So at the time in the office, because we had to keep getting money in, coding is expensive, tech is expensive. So the other thing we would do in the office is sell weaves. because we had China connects in China. So when Bo Faith and Ketsi were still starting, Jessica and Kosi, they'd come to our offices and buy hair. And we'd also sponsor them with like hair so they can post on their Facebook. Like, it was a very long time ago. But yeah, that's like what we were doing.
Company sells hair.
Exactly. We were hustling. We had to do what we had to do.
Yeah.
So that's how we got into it. And then after that, we went our separate ways. And I was chilling with a little bit of money and I just asked myself, like, what do I want to do now?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. I know I have the skill. I know I'm good at it. So what do I do? And someone I know said to me, come to, this is such a ridiculous story, but it's real. It's real. Mm. They said to me, listen, I'm going to Midem in Cannes. Mm. Come with me. You're in tech. You understand social media. Da, 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 da. You'll enjoy this. And I went. I met people from Facebook. Da, 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 da. And they said to me, you should start a podcast because the stuff you have to say is actually really cool. Yeah. And internationally, it's sound. Like, we it all want to hear the stuff that you have to say. Mm. And I was like, a podcast? I'm not too sure. One day in my hotel room, I had nothing to do. So I just took up my voice notes app, recorded a podcast, and posted it on SoundCloud. And it got like 200 streams or something. And I thought, okay, this is interesting. And I just started from there and I started
posting. Were you already Lebu Lion?
No, I wasn't. Okay. I wasn't. I was just
Lebu. You were
Lebu.
Still Lebu.
Yeah, I was Lebu somebody.
Lebu X.
Exactly. Mm. Actually, no, who was
no
that?
No relation to Malcolm X.
No, 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 not at all. But I thought to myself, since my skills are writing and speaking, let me advertise my podcast on Twitter at the time, X. Mm. And on X, my name was the Avocado, Mr. Avocado Lady.
What? Mr. Avocado Lady.
Yes.
Where does that come
because
from?
My theory was that...
She did say she was a bit crazy.
Avocado Lady, it sounds very...
Everything I do is testing the market and people's perceptions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I saw with Twitter at the time was that when women would speak about politics or business, people would undermine you because you're a woman. But when you have a Mr., even if the name is female, if you say Mr. first, people just assume it's a man talking about these serious things. So they and they take you 10 times more seriously. Mm. I literally started getting so many bookings to talk about serious things after I put Mr. next to my name. And it's so stupid. What's Avocado Lady?
Mm. I put that don't know. You just, came up with it?
I was being facetious. Yeah. I just wanted to see if people would really look at the name or if what they cared about was my gender.
Yeah.
So they didn't look at the Avocado
and
Lady.
And once they'd passed the gender thing, the content itself was of value.
Exactly.
Because that's the thing. Obviously, you've still got to deliver.
Yes.
You can be Mr. Spanbani, but if your content is pop.
Exactly.
People aren't, you know what I mean? But when the content is good, they stick around.
Then they stick around. But they were looking for the Mr.
Only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were looking for the Mr. I was like, whoa, so my theory is correct. Mm. If I say I'm a man, I'm getting more out of this, which was interesting at the time. So I used my Twitter page to advertise my podcast and it started gaining traction. I didn't have a lot of followers on Twitter at the time, but because of the things I was tweeting, people really took interest. So it started growing and my Twitter page started growing and I started getting like calls or emails from people from the States saying, would you like to host a masterclass for our team?
Damn.
Or would you like to teach our team about this? Or we want to understand the African continent and how the social media landscape works. We think you're the right person. I didn't know I was the right person. I was just talking about what I know.
Yes.
Right. And also, I'm super young. I don't know if I know more than these, you know, people who are doing well and we've been told da 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 da. But I just took it. I was like, okay, cool. You're coming to me. Let me try it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, the least I could do is fail, and that's okay. And I tried it, and it worked out for me. I was the first African podcast on the iTunes Top 100 charts.
What? Damn.
And it was a long time ago. Like a long, long time ago with my voice notes. So yeah, I've been
in
the podcast
game.
Time
when podcasts were not like now.
They were not a thing. No, like, there were five of us doing podcasts in South Africa at the time.
I was about to ask you, like, how far back was this? Because
years ago, when I forgot his name. He used to be a news reporter on ETV. He was the first South African guy to have a podcast and he had moved to the States. And it was him, it was me, it was Mash. I can't remember what the two other people were. Literally, it was just us.
Mm.
Nobody was podcasting. It wasn't a thing.
And it wasn't even like a setup like this.
It was, like you said,
you'd record it on your phone.
On my voice notes. Yeah. And then I got a microphone and I did it at home on sound, on GarageBand.
Yeah.
Like, how random is that?
It's so random.
So, yeah, like, I've been in the podcasting game. And because I've always gotten opportunities in podcasting, it's never been about the numbers for me.
When was this? Because aren't you like 29? Like,
I'm 35.
Okay.
Oh, you're a 90s baby.
I'm a 90s baby. Yeah.
I'm just like, don't worry, I'm also 35.
So it's a long time ago. Yeah. And I mean, I appreciate the landscape and what it is now, but it was much more fun back in the day because it was about the content, not about the performance of the content.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now it's about the performance of the content.
More than anything,
People are not listening,
the attention
watching.
Economy.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I enjoyed that you could just know things, share it with people, and they'd listen.
Yeah.
And take you seriously and book you to come to their businesses and book you
I think
for whatever.
The booking you part.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when it translates into real life interest in what you're talking about, then you know that you are landing.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
When people start saying, hey man, I heard you speak about 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
I need you to come speak about that in a room full of people.
Yeah. Yes.
Then you really, you're hitting the nail on the head.
Yes.
With that point, and what Warwick is sharing now, how do you prep yourself for the first gig that comes in?
How do I prep myself?
For that gig? Like now seeing the audience in real time.
Yeah. Mm. I think my audacity has a lot to do with where I'm audacious. In life right now. Honestly, to
I'm
be honest.
I'm audacious.
This means.
I'm the kind of person you can brief now and say, in 30 minutes, we need you to go speak to CEOs and I've never done before. I will go do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just that kind of person. Nothing is out of my reach. I really believe that.
Yeah.
So I'll try different things. And a lot of the things that I show online that I've done that are termed as amazing are things where maybe I got the brief the day before.
Mm.
And like it's and just a crazy thing, and I pull up. I've done a 5-day conference where they gave me the script the night before, and it was in an industry I know nothing about.
Mm.
So like it's just I've always been put in situations where I have to show up with very little resources, very little backing, and I have to be a superstar doing that thing. So I'm used to it, and for me that's just how things are done.
So in this attention economy that we live in, I like what you said about the fact that it's no longer about the content and it's more about the likes.
Performance of
the
it,
the performance of the content. How does one monetize what like that? Because it's nice to get likes and it's nice to get 300,000 views. Mm. And there's plenty of people doing it, but I think a lot of creators are not, they're doing it, but they're doing it for free. They're puzzling.
Yeah.
Whereas there's money to be made and there is a way to turn it into money. How does one go about that?
I'm not a big fan of telling people to think about the money first because that's what makes them hungry for likes and all of that stuff, the vanity metrics that we're all seeing. I think you should create a podcast because you've got something to say. And I think you will always make money if you have something to say. Because the people
who
need to hear
you. What if there's something you're saying is no one cares?
That's the point. Then you really shouldn't be
saying anything.
Podcasting if nobody cares, right?
Yeah.
Having something to say means that people need to hear it and that people would value hearing that thing. If they're not valuing it, it means it's not worthy of actually speaking about. But you don't need a big audience to make a lot of money. You just need a quality audience that values what you're putting out there. I mean, I've been in the game for so long, but sometimes I still get 300 views on a video that I put on YouTube. But that 300 views video will get me a client from Dubai. A client in Santon. You get what I'm trying to say? And I'll make more than the person who got 300,000 views. So for me, it's always been about who's my audience? What's their pain point? That's what I'm going to talk about. The video is not for everybody. It's for my people.
There we go.
And so when corporates approach me, I don't pitch myself as we are this huge channel with all of these views. I say, this is what we do. This is why we do it. And I think your business could really leverage from that. And we have a business conversation. So I think a lot of podcasters and people in media have to learn how to talk about the business of what they're doing because your value is not based in the vanity metrics. It's too common, right? Everybody can try play for the vanity thing. So what makes you special? The numbers can't be what make you special. There has to be something bigger than just the numbers.
Let's talk about that USP on your end because with some podcasters, they try everything and it's fair.
Yeah.
Try everything until you find your beat.
Yes.
How easy was that journey to you now knowing firmly that whenever I speak about this, this is the kind of reaction and these are the kind of numbers that I'm going to bring. And outside of numbers, you do this for you, the why.
Yes.
You do what you do.
Yeah.
How were you able to get to this point where you now know what beat Lebo Lion is?
I think I was validated from a very early time, right? From my second podcast, I was already getting emails of people saying, we love this, we need you here, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I knew that this was valuable from the word get. But for some people, I guess if they're playing in a more commercial space where they're sharing the kind of content that everybody else is sharing, your USP has to be more defined than mine is. And that's why the numbers will matter as well. Because now people are saying, but you're all gossiping. You're five gossip podcasts, what makes yours more special than the other, right? And that's why I say to people, have better things to say. Like, don't worry so much about impressing everybody.
That's true.
There's no such thing as a brand that's for everybody. So once you have that mentality in anything you're creating, you're going to lose. You need to be niche focused in the sense that you're saying, if I had to die on this hill, this is the hill I would die on. This is the audience I would die on.
That's true.
You find that when you invest in those people, they will carry you through. They will always carry you through because they'll validate you quickly. They'll tell you, we like it when you do this, we're learning this. Please, can you have a masterclass? Please, can you host an event? They'll tell you and they will pay to come to those things because they're asking for it. So I think that whole process of monetization also is a collaborative thing with your audience. Your audience will show you where they want to spend money on you. And there'll be somebody who's that passionate and invested in you that they will force you. Literally, they will chase you until they pay you and they'll open opportunities up for you. So I just say, like, start with your why in mind. Start with the, what would I not mind talking about for the next 10 years, even if I wasn't getting paid? That's the thing you should be talking about. Those are the conversations you should be having because those are the ones that actually pay.
Do you think all the noise sort of like hurts? Because granted, there's many people who've got podcasts, who've got platforms, who've got YouTube channels that are putting out really, really high quality content. Let's put it that way. They might not have a million views or whatever. But they're putting out high quality content. But unfortunately, it's lost in all the noise of the low quality content. High quantity, low quality. Do you think some form of regulation then would be necessary so that the nonsense can be done away with? Because I know there was a chat about regulating podcasts. And, man, I don't remember who the speaker was, but somebody, when they were speaking, this is one of the points that they raised. And I was like, I didn't think of that. Look, I don't think it's fair. I'm not saying I agree or I disagree. I'm more interested in whether you think it's a good idea, if it would be regulated so that we keep the quality stuff and it actually benefits the market.
What constitutes a quality podcast?
I think the kind of content and information, especially if it's going to come without fact checking. Because some people just say things for the sake of saying things, right? And we're not saying you censor it, but we're living in a time where you could say something, okoko, ayibone, I share it as if it's true. When it's not true. And how many people have been killed on social media and some of the platforms will go on and actually talk about it like it's real. So it's not saying censor. But
there's a lot of sensitive topics, right? It's like, you know, in recent weeks with everything that's been going on here in fucking wild, wild west, a lot of the people that are coming on to platforms to come and speak want to have an opinion about the happenings, right? The Mkwanazis and the what. And I actually tweeted and I said, you know, in the last month, I don't think, first of all, I'd never heard that there's someone called a crime expert. But every channel has got Sabi, crime expert, Warasi, crime expert. And I'm like, what is a crime expert? I felt like it was very... Maybe they are crime experts. I don't know. I stand corrected if there's really a thing. But I felt like a lot of the stuff that they were saying was a little bit irresponsible. Because now you come on, you're a crime expert. So now you need to come in and you need to make statements. I mean, the one guy was like, yo, man, we're all waiting with bated breath to find out if the bail application is approved. Because if this man gets bail, we were waiting to find out if he gets bail because we knew that many people are going to get hit if he gets bail. I'm like, Jesus, you can't say that on ENCA. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, look, the power of social media is that it gives us great insights into how people really behave and react to the things that are happening every day. And with traditional media, you don't get to see the human reaction. You don't get to see the audience reaction. And I don't think we know how to navigate the audience reaction, so we undermine it. And we say, while people are just creating this content to get a reaction out of people. But the news has been doing that. That's the whole point. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there.
So, but it's not a reaction that you see.
It's not a reaction that you see. Yes. But the point is the reaction is happening.
Yes.
And even the misinformation, it's been happening even before we had social media. And people are not media literate. They're not social media literate. They don't know how to navigate.
Abogogo.
Even young people. They don't know how to read a newspaper and decipher whether what they're reading is fact. Exactly. Yeah.
But so, also we're living in a time where people are reading 140 characters. No one is going in depth into the story. Nah.
Exactly.
And you're formulating an opinion with a headline.
I only read headlines and then I comment and say, who's that?
Exactly. So,
which is also a problem.
Regulating the media industry doesn't regulate how people think. And I think that's what we're not really talking about. Like, our education system is the problem, not necessarily media platforms, in my opinion. Because if more people don't know how to read and perceive and understand, then they're not going to fall victim to things like false news or misinformation. And if they are, they're going to have nuanced conversations about what they're perceiving and whether it's real or not. Because the truth is also quite objective, I think. No, it's subjective, my bad, English. But the truth is subjective. So there's no such thing as a real truth. Everybody has their own version of the truth based on how they experience the world. And how do you decide which truth matters more is my question.
Well, I guess it depends on the story and, you know, and what we're trying to unpack. If two waras utubulus banban.
Yeah.
If we can prove that waras utubulus banban, that's the truth.
But what's the agenda? Because the whole world is full of agendas. Right?
Because sometimes I don't think there's an agenda. It's about telling the truth.
There's always an agenda. Media has been used.
I think that's the problem. To push agendas. There is always an agenda.
There's always an agenda.
Yeah. I always say to people, be very careful of the narrative.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, our media is so predictable. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Is that, you know, like, you know, when you ask the question, how do you decide what's quality content? Mm. Is that usually, for example, we wait for a mainstream platform to say something before we to confirm. Then it's like, okay, this is credible information because News 24 said it. Mm-hmm. But if you follow News 24, and this is not News 24 in particular, but many of the outlets, if you follow them, you realize that, hey, you guys, when it's time for the agenda to agenda, we're Times Live, News 24, you know what I mean? All writes the same article. And then it spreads out, it branches out now. Because, as you said, everybody wants to have a platform and wants to say something.
The media is very political. We need to know that. We know that there's certain people funding different media institutions.
Yes.
So actually, podcasting is more truthful than most traditional media.
And I think that's the problem, because it's not regulated.
One can also say you also have your own agenda as a platform yourself.
Exactly, but you should have an agenda.
When that agenda is what Lebo was talking about, where it's like, it's an agenda for truth in your
perspective and how you see it. Because an agenda in media is what? A POV. It's a USP in marketing.
But the same with podcasting, right? And maybe I'm saying this as a radio guy.
We don't have an agenda yet. You know?
this is what I was about to say.
Sometimes we just want to have good conversations.
That's
smart
the agenda.
That's the agenda, good conversation.
And I say this maybe as someone who's coming from a traditional media perspective, is that people who play in podcasting always feel that traditional media is the only one with an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no agenda as a podcaster.
Mm. They have
when
no agenda.
I am listening, I'm like, oh, Waras, what's your agenda?
Exactly.
Then Waras says, I'm not agenda.
Yeah, no, everybody has an agenda. Every human being in the world, you have an agenda. Every human being in the world, I do.
Yeah?
Every
what's
human
your agenda?
Being in the world has an agenda.
So with every podcast you put out, what's your
agenda?
I have an agenda and it's always been very clear.
Yeah.
In marketing, we call it a USP, you guys know.
Yes.
But mine is to democratize access to information for African people and to give them the tools that would allow them to build lives that they love. And I really believe that things like social media and personal branding help you do that. Right? So that's my agenda. And everything that I talk about, I will always drive it back to you need to have a personal brand. You need to have social media.
You do. Otherwise, you're reliant on these platforms.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't be Label Lion if I was playing within the traditional system. It wouldn't allow me to.
No, it wouldn't work.
Right? So I believe in this. It's helped me in my life. It's helped people that are my clients. All of us need to have personal brands. All of us need to have a tech footprint in one way, shape, or form. That's my
Talk agenda. To me about People. Mm-hmm. Is People your agency?
Yeah, but we rebranded and now
people
we call
is
it.
Such a cool.
It is. It was brands plus people.
Yeah.
People. We thought it was cute at the time. But we've evolved into Lion Media Group.
Okay.
It just makes more sense.
Agenda. When it was people, it's like, oh, shame. And then it's like, Lion Media Group.
Hmm? Yeah, I've grown up now. And
offices have moved to Stellenbosch.
Oh, I wish. Yeah. Listen, when I move to Stellenbosch, you will know. Yeah. There will be signs.
There will be signs.
There will be signs. Anyway. You will know.
But
we saw the Bentley outside.
Hey, you know. Guys, I do not drive a Bentley.
Well,
please
then it must be said.
Don't listen to this man.
No.
Yeah, I know. I think it's Warris's Bentley. And
I came in an Uber.
Hectic.
Uber Go.
Uber Black.
Yeah.
Uber Go.
It's like me Uber Go.
Name me Uber Go. Gano.
Singapore.
Guys, it's hot out here in these streets.
Is it?
Don't be embarrassed.
But Lion Media Group just came from us expanding our services.
Yeah.
Mm.
And with me truly understanding what I really want to do in the market.
Mm.
Yeah.
I am a speaker. I moderated conferences and business events, and I really enjoy that. And I saw that there was a gap in the market for advisory in that sector. Just, you know, showing people how to create conferences that make sense and conversations that actually convert. Because I know a lot of people have gone to conferences and you're like, why am I here? Like, what are they talking about? This looks like it's just talk shop. Like, what's happening?
Mm.
Right? So I believe that conferences could really be amazing spaces for transformative conversations. But you have to have guidance in that. It's strategic. You don't just get on stage and just talk. Right. So that's the advisory we do. We also do advisory, marketing advisory for different firms, just helping them understand what is marketing, how does it apply to my business and this country and internationally, how do we create strategies that make sense?
Do you find that a lot of it is international, like you mentioned Dubai, you mentioned the state, where they're coming to you because they actually have no concept of
the
what's
market.
Going on. Yeah, yeah, the market.
It's actually a very tricky one.
I've sat in some meetings where the people are international. And then they're like, oh, no, well, the plan is we're going to come in and we're going to do this. And I'm like, where do you think you are?
Yeah.
That's not going to work. You're going to spend so much money. You're going to burn money.
You're going to burn money.
And it's going to result in nothing. But obviously, they don't always listen.
Most of the time, they don't listen.
Yeah.
Localization.
I don't have a mister in front of my name. I must make it Mr. Shady Lake. Because I'm fine. I'm untouchable.
And they'll take you seriously.
Yeah, they don't take me seriously.
Hey, the conversation about localization is tricky because of the political, economic, social politics that surround all of this.
Yeah.
But what I think a lot of international companies are doing now is instead of searching for companies, they're searching for voices. And if they're hearing Lebu speak on her podcast and they like what she's saying and it resonates, they feel like she's got the skills to help them navigate this continent.
This continent.
Do you get what I'm saying? So it's not 100%. Like they want...
Like they feel like we've got the right person.
Yes, because when she speaks, we understand her, which means she could understand us.
Yes.
So her strategies will resonate with our market and the market we're trying to penetrate, which is important for them because they still... They're the ones who are paying. So they still have to feel understood. They still have to feel like they'll have a bit of control and power. And with local companies, they also want to branch out into international markets.
Yeah.
So they need proper marketing strategies to do that.
And they need the same similar type of understanding.
Exactly. Yeah. So people like me, we would come on as an advisory company and literally go through your business. What do you do? How do you want to move? What are your plans for the future? How can we help you strategically achieve those things? And then they'll find other agencies to help them execute that or whatever the case may be.
In terms of politics, I don't know if you've ever been approached by any people in politics, political parties or politicians.
I have. Right. Oh, I have.
And I'll tell you why. It's because they are terrible at marketing anything.
Yes.
Marketing themselves. I was watching a video, the Rise Mzansi is combined with Bosa. It's combined with Good Party.
Good Party.
Right? It's a trio, GNU of some sort.
Trilogy.
Trilogy, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the video comes out of the announcement that they're making. Just something as simple. I'm really like, I'm trying to break it down into like the simplest thing.
Mm.
First of all, they all come out dancing. That's, why do they do that, right? Then their thing is called Unite for Change,
yes.
UFC, right? And I saw Mighty Jamie posted and he said, these three parties, the video, they've come out. Obviously, he's a political commentator with a massive channel. So it's where you want to be. It's the platform you want to be on where they're talking about you, right? And then he called it UFC. And then the Rise Mzansi Brewer replies and he's like, we are not UFC. We are Unite. It's you, whatever, UFC, those, the acronym, whatever the three letters, what did I call it? Unite for change.
Yeah.
It's Unite for Change, but we call it Unite. And I'm like, well, that's a shit idea.
Exactly.
Because it's Unite for Change. You can't make Unite for Change Unite, bro.
Yeah.
Like, what are you saying? You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
My name is Lebu Lion, but they call me Lelai.
Yeah.
What? It's not Lelai. It's Lebu Lion.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I just think to myself, again, in the list of priorities, this is important, guys. It's important what's going on politically in the country because of where we're at. Why are they so shit at it? And do they contact people like you?
Mm-hmm.
Do they listen when you guys advise them? Because I also feel like they are contacting, there's budget for it. email. But you're fine. They're not executing the thing. How did we get here?
I'll personally say they don't contact me.
Yeah.
They contact me as Lebo Lion to be a spokesperson or whatever, okay, which is something I'm not going to do.
Right. Because no, they don't want contact peace in my life. Strategy.
They don't want strategy. Okay. No. And I think that's obviously an oversight on their part because they need it. All political parties need proper marketing and PR strategies. That's why the American landscape is so robust.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because they invest. PR people in America are the ones who build and make the president you see, right? All of that is PR and marketing at its highest form.
100%.
Yeah, we don't take it that seriously. In fact, we'll just hire somebody with a marketing degree and say, come on our team, she'll manage social media, and then one day she'll be writing strategy, which makes no sense because where's her experience? How does she know how to build things? And that's one of the reasons why I decided to build myself as Lebo Lion and not go through corporate. Because you can't build your personal brand as a reputable voice in its own kind of, you know, strength and power if you're going through corporate. You have to ask yourself and literally find out, what is it about me that makes me so unique that people would want to care about me? And if you can't do that without mentioning all these names and whatever, then you don't actually have a very strong brand. People have to care about you just because it's you and nothing else. So a lot of marketers don't have that skill because they've never had to build their own personal brands outside of their organizations. And that's why we don't have the skills in the country of people who could build presidents and that kind of thing. Because a lot of us haven't built on our own. Exactly. Yeah. So you have to know, I've got the grit. I know how to navigate many industries and landscapes because I've had to do it myself. So because of that, you know, I have a very different perspective, and that is unattractive and unappealing for a lot of people because they're not exposed to those strategies, right? They're exposed to what you'd find in a textbook. They're exposed to the normal stuff. But to navigate politics, you need a completely different eye.
Yeah.
You need a waras, you need a sab, you need people who aren't necessarily marketers, but who have a different way of thinking to actually build really great marketing strategies and really great PR strategies. So it's interesting, but no, it doesn't seem like there's a big demand for heavy strategic advisory when it comes to.
And it's such a massive industry.
Politics.
That's why I'm just like, they could be empowering a lot of people.
They could be.
Yeah.
Because we've got a lot of talent in the country. But
what do you think people tend to not understand about marketing? Because as a person who's watching this and they probably got a business that's been around for years and they feel like,
and they think, but I'm posting on Facebook.
You know?
Marketplace. Now I'm a sofa.
You know?
Now I'm a
hectic. I think people don't know what marketing is.
Yeah.
Honestly, they don't know what marketing is. Even when we get hired by...
advertising.
They think it's advertising, firstly, which is a big mistake. But also, they think it's business development. Some people will literally come to you and say, oh, you have a marketing agency. We need sponsors for XYZ.
Yeah, we need funding.
And you're like, I can't help you with funding and sponsorship. That's a different... That's funding and sponsorship.
Yeah.
It's not marketing. And I think people don't realize how entrepreneurial the actual process of marketing is.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot of marketing. They're just not aware it's marketing. They're calling it something else. And they do advertising and call it marketing, and then they don't get marketing results because they're looking at advertising results and calling it marketing, and it's not that. So marketing is marketing, advertising is advertising, BD is BD, and all the other functions are what they are. And marketing is basically the process of adding value to anything that you're doing to create value to the end user, right? I'm overusing the word value, but basically that's what it is. So it's all those processes, the packaging, the promotion of it, the pricing of it, all of those things, the marketing mix, I'm sure you guys are familiar
the
with that.
The marketing from the textbook.
From the textbook. Mm. That's marketing. All of those P's, that's marketing.
Do you feel like you like levels above or ahead of the game sometimes? No, no. I mean, no, serious.
Do you want to give me
no,
trouble?
No, no, no. Sometimes, I feel like that sometimes. I feel like, yo, people are dumb unless I'm just really smart. You know what I mean? Because I'll look at something.
Yeah.
Like you say, you look at marketing as a whole and you're like, yo, guys, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, how are we not understanding what marketing is?
Yes.
I think I also feel like it's an industry where, you know, there's so many people that are just coming in. Mm-hmm. There's too many people, like what I said earlier about the noise. Like, everybody just jumps in because it seems like I can build a personal brand. And once I build a personal brand, other brands are going to fuck with me and then I'm going to make money.
Yeah.
Mm. But now everyone is doing that.
Yes.
And it's not it's not yielding results. It's not adding value at all.
Yes.
Mm. Do you feel like sometimes it's like, yo, I mean, I'm on another level and like the game is dumb?
One thing I always tell entrepreneurs at my talks is that the key thing that marketers do is we don't judge anything. We don't judge people. We don't judge the system. We don't judge brands, nothing. We observe and we advise, we observe and we critique, right? Mm. So that we can help people perceive things a little bit differently to what they've been perceiving. Because the world is just made up of the things that we think. It's made up of ideas that come to life. And I don't believe that there's anything as a bad idea. I just think there's bad execution or lack of support. But any idea can actually work if you try hard enough, if you've got the right resources. So I don't think I'm ahead of the game in an egotistical sense. But I definitely think that my understanding and use of marketing is not something we're doing on the continent.
Mm.
And I relate to a lot of people like Rory Sutherland, Seth Godin, all those people. When they speak, I hear them. And I think when they hear me speak, they hear me because I'm speaking about marketing on a global scale.
Mm.
And we tend to over-localize things here. And it loses a lot of its value when we do that.
Mm. As a young black woman playing in this marketing space, challenges that you still face and some that you've been able to overcome?
I think we all face the same challenges as women in the industry, but it's a sense of...
Is it really though? That is just us here. Tell us.
It's just us and hundreds and thousands of other people.
No, no. I feel like, is it not the opposite? Is it not like if you are a young black female and you're good, the world is your oyster? Well, unless you're ticking all the boxes, Ved.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
We live in South Africa, and we've just seen 2 billion rands has been stolen, and a lot is happening. Would you say that South Africa is a country that celebrates and requires excellence?
No.
Okay. If that is the case, would you say that somebody who's extremely good at what they do would win here?
In Joburg, yes.
You would.
Yes.
Why?
But I don't think you wouldn't win in the spaces that don't reward excellence.
Mm. Which is South Africa?
Yeah, I think
it's subjective.
Private sector, I think, rewards excellence.
Do you think so?
I think so. Yeah. I think people who are really good at what they do make, like, you've got no excuse to not be making money, doing well, getting the accolades that come with it. I think
exceptional people are very resilient and they make it against the odds.
Okay.
But in a country where there's...
Yeah, it could be easier.
I think it's hard. It's just that if you're really that good, you're going to be good and you're going to find a way to make sure it happens. I think in a country with all of this corruption and terrible leadership, there's no way excellence isn't anything but a threat. So people who are mediocre are going to make it here quite easily. If you are that good, you're going to face a lot of adversity, a lot of pushback, because when you come into the space, you're exposing what's not working.
Yeah, because you appear in the
exactly.
game.
Exactly. So people are going to say, but how? Lebu said X, Y, Z, this is going to save us money. Why haven't we been doing this? Mm. People are going to get fired.
Shut up.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't think we have an appetite for excellence because the country culture is so corrupt and, you know, a lot is happening.
And it becomes...
It becomes pervasive. Organizational culture, it becomes social. Yes. The country culture, our political culture is not one that celebrates excellence. So we don't have an impetus to try to be excellent as South Africans in anything that we do. And people see excellence as ego, bragging, whatever.
Arrogance.
It's not value. Yes, exactly. That's why our doctors have to go to other countries. Our CAs are going to other countries to make money, because when they're really good here, they face so many politics within the organizations that they can't thrive and be happy.
So which brand would you give an excellence award to that has been performing at the highest level for you when it comes to the marketing, in a marketing sense?
So funny, I was thinking about that this morning, and I think Brutal Fruit deserves their flowers.
Mm.
They are doing such an exceptional job, especially where influencer marketing is concerned and community engagement is concerned. They get it. They get who their audience is. They get what their audience is looking for. And I think they've partnered with the right creators to get that message across to the public. Mm. I mean, there's, now they're in
there's
Paris.
Nothing worse than that is when brands partner with the wrong creators.
Exactly. Hey. And Brutal Fruit, you never say why. I know they had that one controversial moment with the pink table in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, other than that, they've been doing a fantastic job. I can't fault them. They get it. Well done to them. And I've worked with them before. I spoke at one of the events, and it's an all-female team.
Yeah.
So that's brilliant for me. I love teams that have women on them. Because you see the difference.
A traditional brand that you feel needs SOS?
We spoke about this, actually. Wimpy.
Which one?
Wimpy.
Oh, yeah.
I love Wimpy, guys. Yeah. Like, I also love Wimpy. Wimpy made my childhood, but I just feel like
I'm
they're not doing enough.
I'm a big mega breakfast fan.
Exactly. Wimpy is just one of those, it's nostalgic, it's amazing, but the marketing for me isn't making sense. They're not in 2025.
Mm-mm.
They're relying on us, and we're getting older, so we're not
and
the best market to be investing in.
Can I tell you interesting thing about Wimpy?
Yeah.
Everybody I know that posts about Wimpy, posts at the airport.
Yeah.
Myself included.
Exactly.
I only eat Wimpy when I'm on my way out,
yeah,
on my way back. Yeah. I don't eat, you know, like you'll check out of the hotel, don't eat breakfast on checkout day.
Yeah.
Mm.
Say airport.
Yes.
I say Wimpy.
Mm.
You
exactly
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And vice versa. When I'm leaving Joburg, especially if it's obviously in the morning, again, I won't like leave my house, like leave this podcast and be like, yo, dog, let's go get some Wimpy.
I'm the
never
guy.
Ever.
Exactly.
Right? I don't want to sound like I'm the ambassador. I was telling Lebo.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going to get my wings from them. I know where I'm going to get my big meaty grill.
Yeah.
My egg and cheese. Yeah. Like,
Sammy rattled off a very unhealthy diet, but okay.
For me, it's like, you know when you want breakfast, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
And it's one brand that I always think top of mind, like, ish, funny breakfast. There's no other brand that's going to come top of mind. Hey, it went because I know they're going to give me my eggs and everything breakfast. Proper, even at 12 o'clock sometimes at night, I'm funny pie.
I'm
funny breakfast.
And they're consistent. And it's just, Wimpy's fantastic, but the marketing,
the marketing
so much
is very poor.
Yeah, I think the brand needs a revamp.
Yeah. In terms of South Africa, the industry, are you hopeful? As you said, we are facing some significant challenges as a country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I was speaking to, I can't say, but I was speaking to like a groot man with power. And he was like, you know, people don't get it. In the 9 wasted years, let's call it the 9 wasted years. He said, we knew niggas were eating and we knew there was corruption and we knew that things are happening. But down here where we were also eating, right? And this is not in the government space. He's talking about like in private sector, in any field that we were in, there was work. Whereas now, you know, the eating continues, the corruption continues. Because remember, it's a top-down thing. But now we are starving. Like every industry has been hit so hard, you know, especially even the marketing, advertising, agencies are closing, business is not coming
in. It's tough
in.
Right now, man.
It's really, really tough. Mm. So I would say from where you're sitting, it is from
your POV.
From your POV,
yeah.
Should we be hopeful or should we be, you know, in your industry? Like, is it going well or... Is it time to go to Dubai?
Look, I think just generally it is time to go to Dubai.
Okay.
No matter where you are in the world.
I love that you are honest.
No matter where you are in the world, you will thrive in Dubai right now. Yeah. It is the metropolis of everything hot and happening. But from a South African perspective, you know, even in the toughest times, if you've got the right mindset, you can make things happen for yourself. Because you just have to have an innovative eye, an eye that looks for opportunities.
Yeah.
And you have to be... adaptable and flexible, right? I'm not necessarily doing things the way I wanted to. I had to adjust to the market and say, they're not getting me like this. I'm always pivoting. I'm always trying to find different ways. Exactly. Yeah. And if you have humility, you'll realize that your title means nothing. Right, being Level Lion at the end of the day, yes, it's great, but it means nothing when it comes to doing the work.
Yeah, when I do the work, needs to get done,
I have to do the work.
Yeah. It's not about the videos, it's not about the likes.
Exactly. If it means I must wipe the table, I'm going to wipe the table. If it means I have to look through spreadsheets and sit at a desk and do the unsexy stuff, I'm going to do it. Mm. Right. And I think a lot of people want to hold on to, I am this, therefore I can't do other things.
Mm. That is so true.
I am this,
dude.
Therefore I can't do
I see that in our
way.
Industry where people are like, I want to do the sexy stuff. Yeah. And then it's like, bro, no. Before you get to the sexy stuff,
you must understand,
seems to be an attitude, you know, that's a thing of the past in terms of the way people approach stuff.
Yeah. And it never stops, right? Mm. Like even in the conferencing space sometimes, I have to humble myself and say, yes, you've built this brand, but here, you're still working your way up.
You're a small boy.
You're a small boy, right? You must always remember that there's always a space where you are a small boy.
Yeah.
So don't let your ego get ahead of you.
Yes.
And I think
don't tell people who know who I am.
Well, I've told one person that. Okay. I've
told so many people that.
You know who I am.
It's actually my line.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like an egotistical thing. They were being disrespectful. And I was like, but wait a minute. I've taken your nonsense. What the hell? Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't tell people. I don't ask them, do you know who I am?
I went to an event yesterday. So when I get to the entrance, right? I know everything's arranged. I show whatever, my tickets on my phone. And then this one is like, but this ticket is not for this entry. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go to that other entrance. Now it's like four people in front of me. The one that's telling me you have to go to the other entrance is just doing his job, right? And I'm not a do you know who I am guy.
Yeah.
Right? And I was chilled. It wasn't that deep. It wasn't like they were saying you can't come in. And the other three, dog, they're like, this is like young girls, you know, the girls who work at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's pressure at the door.
Yes.
Because everybody that comes there is on some do you know who I am?
Exactly. It's
the VIP entrance.
Yeah.
You know, like it's almost like they've indoctrinated you and they've spoken you into this lather that, yo, you know who's pulling up here?
Exactly.
You understand? You can't see the cars that we're pulling up with because it's spaghetti. You see? Mm. So it's not even like you can judge. It's just gonna be this person in front of you talking about, I'm here now. remember what we said about South Africans.
Yes.
Everybody wants to feel like
a VIP.
The owner.
Yeah.
I'm showing you a WhatsApp from the owner of the event. Now, now you see the name. Yeah. Now you're like, whew.
Yeah.
And this info is just like, you're going to have to go around because obviously the one I'm dealing with is white. It's not my target audience.
Yes.
And these ones are like, yo.
You know who that is.
You know this guy? I thought it was very funny. Yeah. I could have. It could have been a do you know who I am moment.
It could have.
You know?
It could have easily.
But
there's a time and a place for do you know who I am. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah. I felt like I'm a small boy, just for context. I was like, nah, man. I'm just.
But sometimes in South Africa, we overdo humility. For me, I think we overdo it. And it's just like.
Yeah, super humble.
If, for example, you're an entertainer, and you want to be taken seriously, there's a level of, do you know who I am, that you have to walk around with, right?
Yes.
So that you can give yourself credibility and really own the space.
Dude.
And your fans actually want you to own the space, right? It's just about not being rude or mean in that, do you know who I am? But I think we have to posture that a little bit more.
It's something as small as, I always say, like, what I love about the American kids, they truly believe they're born in the greatest country in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. They believe that.
Yes.
You know, they world champions. That time, they're just champions in one state.
Exactly.
You know, and they believe that. And I wish we can get to a point where we can teach that to our children.
Do you know who teaches it well? Honestly speaking, this is going to be a controversial statement, but YOLO, do you know who I am? Afrikaners.
Oh, yeah.
Those niggas are like, yo.
They believe in themselves.
Big time.
From the small things as embracing your language.
They believe in, like, their country.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why they hang on to that shit. Like, and I think people don't understand that it's that deep.
It is that deep.
Where they're like, nah, bro. La?
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? This is my land.
You know other people?
My grandfather.
Exactly.
He bought this land for
Ini.
That's like the type of
And the Zulu folks.
And the Zulu folks.
Oshuk Tin, Umfundulim Lwakho.
You know,
do you know
that
who I am?
About humility.
We are Mushabanga. I mean, matching.
Yeah. It's important to have a bit of that. Yeah. Do you know who I am?
Yes. No, pride, Zulus have pride matters. Of it. Yeah. I think there was a Umtitieli wa Mabuto. There's a guy. He was the leader of the Zulu regiments. Mm-hmm. The general Umtitieli. Umkilicha was his name. Umkilicha had like a grade 6 education. Remember, like, I don't ask, born in my interview work.
No. Right. I'm learning
so, Umkilicha, yeah. They're interviewing him, and this interviewer says to him, Ish, Bati, uZulu, unengani? Like, a Zulu person is stubborn. Mm. And he's like, Cha, uZulu, yahlonipha nje. Hlonipha la hamba khona. You know? But the way he says it, that guy is waiting for him to give context to what he's saying. And he goes, and this dude is like, okay, next question.
So it's like, you're expecting me to elaborate?
Like, I'm not sure. I wasn't sure to how to read that. For it's like saying I'm humble, but the way he stood and the way he like postured himself after the answer is saying like it's that little bit of arrogance.
Yes.
You understand, or confidence to say no. uZulu uyahlonipha. I dare you to argue with me. Mm. And the brah was like, okay, moving on to the next question.
Exactly.
You know. So there's that. We need more of that. That
we
attitude.
Do. You're right. We do, and a lot of corporates are averse to that. Whenever I do personal branding workshops, and I say to people, you have to have audacity. You have to believe in yourself.
Dude,
a bit more.
You must.
They think it's a crime.
Yeah.
They're just like, Sabi calls
himself
how
the
be
best
arrogant.
Ever.
Yeah. Exactly.
You must call yourself
you
that.
You must call yourself the best that. Ever. And if someone has a problem with it, let them compete with you.
That's fine.
Let
yes.
them come to
if
the table.
If you're
going to
try and compete with
right?
me, also don't. For me, it's the mindset of you trying to compete with me when people can't compete with themselves.
Hey.
You know what I mean? Sometimes people are quick to come for you, saying you're the best thing ever. When you are saying the standard I set for myself is the best thing ever.
Thank you.
So if you're going to have issues with me, you have literally issues with you.
My
but
man,
let's talk about
you. Who I am.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about you, the next big role. For
the next
Level
big
Lion.
Role.
What's next?
Ooh,
your
I can't
role.
Share it. I can't
and,
share it.
And, what, and what's the legacy that Lebo Lion wants to leave on this game?
So remember I said my agenda is democratizing access to information for African people and teaching them how to build personal brands that will help them live the lives that they love. That's the thing that I want to leave behind. I just want to see people really living lives that they actually enjoy. I don't think we've been taught that as African people. Life has always been framed as this hard thing. Where you do hard things and then you die, you know? And I think life is actually quite enjoyable when you do the things that you love.
Well,
no,
you know,
really
you need
even,
a few things
even the
for
challenges,
that, you know?
Even the challenges are a little bit... Yes, definitely. But a personal brand would have to help you make money. If it's not a personal brand, if you're not making money from
no,
it, 100%. Right? 100%.
So then it's just you, like I was saying.
Exactly.
Like,
you're just making up a name and you're just there. But you have to make money from this personal brand.
Then it's
and
avocado.
Exactly. Then it's avocado. So for me, it's leaving that in people and making intellect sexy. You know, in this pop culture space, in this commercial space, what you see a lot of is, and
baddies.
This is no shame to the baddies or whatever, and
baddies.
The men, because the men are also baddies too.
Yeah, but
male
but
baddies.
They are. There are many men who are baddies.
Yes, you'll see them.
There are lots of men who are baddies in these streets.
It's the men that have the tattoo of a rose on their neck or on their hand.
I don't co-sign that message.
Yeah, like we know you bad niggas. Yeah.
But there are lots of people where, and this is also just general media and pop culture, where to be relevant, you need to be sexy and this
Baddies.
And that. And I just think there's room for the intellect as well.
Oh, yes.
It should be cool to be smart. It should be
Man,
cool to be
and
nerdy.
And I wish we celebrated it more, Lebo. You
right?
said a mouthful. Eh?
Yeah.
Because it's like that stuff is cool and that stuff is of actual value.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, the things that we celebrate, and again, it's like because it monopolizes the media space, it monopolizes the socials.
Yes,
we're not hearing Lebo Lion's message.
Yes,
where it's like, yo, these are the people we should be celebrating.
Yeah,
yeah, bro. Not the baddies. Like, I feel like there's
we
just such a
dangerous... We can also celebrate the baddies. We can.
That's the thing. Like,
we can.
But how much do we celebrate them? You know,
yeah,
like, because I feel like a lot of the stuff that we're celebrating is really leading people.
Yeah,
it's putting people in danger, man. I tweeted, right? I was being facetious, obviously, because, you know, sometimes, guys, believe it or not, sometimes I'll tweet some bullshit because I want you guys to react.
Yeah.
But anyway, I couldn't speak about it when PH was here because he was like, hey, right? I tweeted about Edwin Sodi and his relationship with Karen.
I think I saw that tweet.
You saw that tweet. I left the tweet. Like, what I'll do is I'll tweet and then I carry on with my day. Right? Right? I look at the tweet traction. Yo, it's heavy. I said that Edwin Sodi, the tweet, the initial context of the tweet was, what's wrong with this girl? Why is she with this old man? Right? Okay. And it's a general thing. It's quite a big conversation on X where we...
Which girl? Karen?
I think Karen. It was Karen. Okay. Yeah. Zulu. I can't remember who was in the picture, but I think it was Karen.
Or Singobile.
Yes. Oh, well. Oh. I was like, right? People are on some, why are these young girls with uncles? But remember the pressure. Attention economy.
Yeah.
I'm a baddie.
Yeah.
Everything that's been coming out in the various cases that are happening. A lot of the niggas have been exposed by their hands. Mm-hmm. It's like now you're in court, you're facing serious charges. They go and they pull out an Instagram video of a young girl in a police motorcade posting in front of a Rolls Royce, in front of an office park. Ngati umphathi wakhona. It's like, you know, we know it's not your office park and you've built nothing. But that's what you're posting because perception, you know. And I feel like it's dangerous because it's setting this precedent where that's what the young girls are chasing now. They don't want to do the hard work that Lebo Lion did in order to get into the position. Am I making sense? And my tweet was, guys, let's pause the story. Why are we acting like Edwin Sodi is some run-of-the-mill timer? Your uncle there from the prior Onomkaba. It's not the same broor, right?
Yes.
Guy's in shape. He's pretty good looking. You know, he's not a bad looking man.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me gay to say the man is visually
appealing.
He's also got that whole gangster thing.
Yeah.
I know all of these things because I'm also that guy.
What?
I'm cute.
You're
understand?
That guy.
Hands come to me. I promise you, ranging from 20 to 45.
Oh my God.
And they say similar things where they're like, what I like about you is 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
You know, there's these things. So when I'm looking at him and the millions that he has and the supercars, how he got it is not in the chat when it comes to the 20-something-year-old Han.
Yes.
Am I right or wrong? She doesn't care about that stuff. None of the... she's saying, yo, ungiphethe kahle lo bhuti. Yabo? And because he is visually appealing.
Yes.
It's cool because it's like he's not like, again, he's not like some fat timer with a mkaba that's 60 that, you know, like, it's not a bad... It's not a bad deal.
There are many layers to what you're saying.
Yes, but when I tweeted it, I was saying, in response to what they were saying, I was saying, guys, let's not act confused. In this attention economy, because of the pressure on me to show up on social media like this, if there's a boyfriend that's offering the money and everything that it comes with, the comfort, the protection, the you understand?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for that because I'm chasing this attention economy thing. Am I right or wrong? It shouldn't be so far-fetched.
It's layered because also, firstly, corporate hands can also be baddies. Just because she's got a degree and she works wherever, it doesn't mean she's also not dating men for their money or, you know, trying to get some kind of social
validation.
But
why is she dating those men? For the attention economy.
Yes, exactly. But the point is that simply looking at Lebo Lion because she seems focused doesn't mean much in the sense of like her lifestyle or how she gets
so
what she
Lebo
gets.
So Lebo Lion is a baddie.
No, Lebo Lion's not a baddie. Lebo's not a baddie, guys. I'm just saying that appearances can be deceiving. So we can't look at somebody and just
eyes,
say.
Savvy.
There's nothing wrong with my eyes right now. I'm just saying that appearances can be deceiving.
Yeah.
So we can't just assume that because someone looks a certain way or works a certain way, they're not a baddie. Right.
Yeah.
And there are lots of corporate baddies who are.
But the reverse applies.
Yes,
we can't assume that the baddie who shows up on social media looking like, this is my office behind me in my Bentley.
Yes.
It's not yours.
Exactly.
So is it not sending the wrong message? That's what I was saying. I was saying like, look, there's a dangerous element to it.
What I'm saying is people have to be discerning because appearances can be deceiving. No matter
22
who you
year olds are just
our
not
politicians
discerning.
Are there doing crazy things, but when you look at them, appearances make it seem like these are credible leaders. So I think we should stop judging people based off of like their positions or whatever they do. And just look at the information for what it is in that moment, you know? I've just seen that people get scammed quite often because they believe what they see And they're not taking in everything that comes with what they are seeing. Mm,
that's why forex traders are operating.
Goes back to that agenda chat.
There's an agenda there, the forex trade, I'm fine.
Goes back to that agenda.
Level Lion, amazing. What a dope conversation.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Speak to you. I need to speak to you more.
Yeah, but invite me more. I'll be more relaxed.
Is it fine if we meet up in public? Because I'm full of moon, you're a baddie.
I'm not a baddie, guys. I'm not a baddie. I'm just a nice lady. Mm. For now. For
marketing now. Baddie.
I think there's actually someone called the marketing baddie online. I think so. People want to be baddie.
It was right there.
It's cool to be a baddie.
Not really anymore. It's kind of falling off, yeah. No, that Kardashian baddie era is kind of, like, we're moving. I don't know. I'm just judging by what I see trending on social media.
Yeah.
We're moving into, like, this, I don't know if it's like this model, Bella Hadid. What do you really do? You're so artistic.
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
Small following, our jumpy type of. Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. This whole thing of being out there slowly phasing out. And as, who I was talking about? I think Gary Vee was talking about unplugging is a new cool.
Yes.
You know, everyone is unplugging from their phones. People are going hiking. People are reading more. People actually just want to be with other people. This thing of you being locked into your screen is actually old. But it feels like we're going back to the past.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because that's what we used to do in the 90s. You know
we need to be there because, hey, guys, we need to make money.
Yeah.
Yes, we have to be outside. We've got to be there. We have to be outside.
Lebu Lion.
Yeah.
Tar, darling.
Tar.
What's your 10? Oh, no. You good? Oh, clock it.
When I'm tired, boy.
Yes, yeah.
Hey, replacement pH in the house. Shout out, Sebi. Oh,
wow. Yo, pH.
Lebu Lion. Mark is getting dirty.
Sit, laugh at some Warner's jokes. He didn't give me a lot of jokes. Guys, I'm really happy. The next one. Like the first time I came.
She's happy, dot.
Warner's up is and up. Bemalento ya kile.
Yeah, boy.
A vape.
The first time I came, guys, I'm really happy. What time they come back?
I'm not perfect. I do have my shortcomings.
Because I've seen those videos. Have you seen those videos online?
Which ones?
The vape ones. People in hospital. Oh, like, yeah. Oh,
but in cock
that
pom,
scares me.
Popcorn.
Something you may not know about me. I live on the edge.
Okay.
Dangerous.
Yeah, no.
No, but I really need to stop. Like, fuck, bro.
Yeah.
It's not cool for my street cred either. Like, I'm pulling up on niggas with the vape. Like, hey, wait, Putin. Do you know who I am? That's us. We're back again next week.
Guys, if I look at any podcast, me on radio, I know I play a liner.
Subscribe. It's like, subscribe, follow us on social media.
Like, subscribe, follow us. But you're already watching, so follow us. Hey, my friend, Fagan Lendola.
Yeah. Yeah, share it with your friends. It's fine. My WhatsApp status way in the food. Oh,
I don't find no cute.
We're back again next week. Take it easy. If it's easy, take it home.
Ow. Oh, namanje.
Namanje, fine.
Any content? Any consent? Bye-bye.
But I'm not in season.